I believe that the local church is not being emphasized in the body of Christ at large properly. You understand what I mean by that? I don't mean it's not being talked about, but I mean the place that it has in the believer's life is not being properly honored in so many people's lives, the body of Christ, people in the body of Christ. They kind of think it's optional. Well, of course, you know, God's not making anybody do anything. We understand that. But the Word of God says very clearly that there's some things that we're not to do. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It makes it very plain that He puts us in the body as it pleased Him.
Yes.
It makes it very plain that no man lives to himself or dies to himself.
Right, right.
Meaning, we're not just supposed to be loners.
No, we're not.
Sheep are, we're called sheep, right?
Yes, right.
Sheep are flock animals.
Yes, right.
We don't see a lot in the United States, but you maybe look at, the Middle East or something where they have sheep out on the hillsides, or maybe go up to South Dakota or somewhere up there where they got some of this, and you'll find that those sheep, they just go like it almost looks like a wave going across the hillside whenever they move. They just all move together.
Yeah.
And we're called sheep.
Yes, we are.
We're not loners. We're flock animals, so to speak, not that we're animals.
Right.
But we're people that get together and love each other's fellowship.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I mean, sheep ought to smell like sheep. Amen. In other words, they hang around a lot of sheep. Some of you haven't laughed yet, but that's all right. Now, let's look at, we were looking at some of the things about Jesus setting people in companies, right? In the feeding of the 5,000, we saw that He set them down in companies. So we were talking about the fellowship of believers and how important it is that you be around fellowship with others of faith.
Yes.
The strangest people and the weirdest people I've ever met. Now I have tendencies in my natural makeup, not my spiritual makeup, but my natural makeup to be like this. So don't think I'm just, criticizing other people. But the most unusual, the most strange, the most, you might even use the word weird,
yes,
are the people that just never get around other people.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like, okay, brother, you need to get in public more, you know.
Yeah.
You need to be around people that maybe would knock some of those rough edges off, you know.
Yeah,
like the illustration we used about, you know, being in a creek where there's water flowing. You don't find rough stones in there because they've been in there for whatever, centuries, and they keep getting bumped together,
yes,
and knocked,
sir.
Those rough edges get knocked off.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's really the thing we want to continue talking about here. I want to switch a little bit. We'll go back to that in more towards the end of the service. But I want to switch a little bit here with Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to talk not only about the role of the local church in the life of the believer, but before we get any further in that, talk about the pastoral ministry, what that office is for. And then we'll go to, in fact, why don't you, before you go to Ephesians 4, let's just switch it up here a little bit. Go over to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Let's start there, actually. And verse number 36. We'll get to Ephesians 4 sometime between now and the end of the year. Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitude, Jesus is the one talking here, or that he's talking about. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them.
Yeah.
Why? If you look through Jesus' earthly ministry, he was moved with compassion and healed the sick, didn't he?
Right.
He was moved with compassion on the 5,000 and fed them.
Right.
And you can see different things. He was moved with compassion on people and forgave them.
Yeah.
But look at this. He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Say that out loud. As sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto them, or unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. So he's addressing the multitudes. He's ministering to the multitudes. Actually, it talks about it earlier. He was ministering everywhere he went, verse 35, preaching, teaching, and healing. But when he saw the multitude, he was seeing a greater need. He saw a need for something more than what they were getting in what he was doing in the traveling ministry.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow.
And he said, the harvest, he said, verse 36, they faint and were scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, Jesus was and is the good shepherd. But when he was in that kind of traveling ministry, he wasn't staying at one place.
Right.
You understand? And, you know, staying with that group of people, or that flock, you might say.
Yes, sir.
And caring for them ongoingly.
Yes.
Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
So in that traveling ministry, he saw a need for something. And really, you might say, well, isn't he the great shepherd? Yes, but he's actually all five of the fivefold ministry offices.
Yes.
He's the apostle and high priest of our confession.
Yes.
Jesus said a prophet's not without honor but in his own country. So he's talking about himself. He's a prophet. He came to seek and save that which is lost. That's the evangelist.
Yes.
He's the pastor because he's the good shepherd.
Yes.
Same word translated, shepherds translated pastor.
Yes. Right.
And he's also the teacher. That's the fivefold ministry offices includes teacher. And he went about teaching everywhere he went. In fact, we have more record of him teaching than anything.
That's right. That's right.
So he was all fivefold ministry, but he wasn't staying in one place when he walked the earth.
Right.
So he saw the need for shepherds. And he said, pray that God would raise up laborers. And you can see from the context, primarily he's talking about shepherds.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It wouldn't be limited to that.
Yeah.
But primarily, he's talking about shepherds, all right? So they were scattered. Now, I want you to see something here. These individuals that didn't have a shepherd, they fainted. They were scattered, right?
Yes, sir.
And if you look at the word scattered, it doesn't just mean wandered off.
Right.
It means chased by a predator.
Right.
If you look it up, it's not just wander off, but chased by a predator. And we know he's talking about the enemy as the predator. Because, you know, Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? So you look at this and you find Jesus' heart, or you might say his compassion on people, because he knows they need a pastor.
That's
same Greek word translates shepherds, translate pastor.
Right.
So he's longing for that office to come into the earth.
Absolutely.
Now, he is that, but he's not really staying in one place where he could care for those people ongoingly.
Right.
Am I making any sense? So whenever this compassion moved on him, it moved on him because he longed to stay there and ongoingly care for their spiritual needs. And he's actually saying what happens to people who don't have a pastor. This is what happens to people that don't have a pastor. They faint. And are scattered abroad. Amen. Now, I've seen that in amazing ways. In fact, the people that help us care for the people on at Cedar Rapids, and of course here also, but the church is newer here. But in Cedar Rapids, I've told them, I've said, you know, a lot of people think they know what they need when they call into our church for prayer. I need help financially. I need healing for my body. My marriage is broken up or breaking up. I need this. My mind is troubled and tormented and vexed and so forth. I need this. And I said, first question. I redirected the staff. First question. Ask them this. Are you born again, first of all?
Right. Yeah.
But I'm talking about a lot of these people are calling because they're born again.
Right, right.
Number one question mostly is, do you have a pastor?
Yes.
Because they think their need is whatever, the healing or the troubledness in their mind, whenever really what they need is somebody to sit under to feed them the Word of God. Amen. Now, remember, Jesus is called in Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know if it's verse 2 or 3, somewhere right in there. It talks about Jesus, or looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Right.
Say that out loud. Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith.
Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith.
One translation says source for author. Yeah. I mean source. And then the other another translation says perfecter rather than finisher.
Glory to God.
So he's the source of our faith.
Yes.
And he's also the perfecter of our faith. In other words, he dealt the measure of faith to every single one of us when we got born again, right? Remember Romans chapter number 12? He's dealt to every man, everyone among you, those that are believers, born again. He dealt to us the measure of faith. Praise God. A lot of times people say, I just need faith. Well, you already got the measure of the divine kind of faith. What you need is learn how to use it.
There it is.
And get the church, it'll teach you how to use it.
Amen.
Praise God. So he said he's dealt to every one of us the measure of faith, but so Jesus is not only the source of our faith, he's also the perfecter of our faith.
Right.
Just because we have faith doesn't mean it's brought to maturity and hitting on all cylinders, so to speak. But guess what? It can hit on all cylinders. And we live exactly the way God intended us to live, having what he intended us to have.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 So as the source and perfecter of our faith, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 12, you would think that that's all that there is to that. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 10. And I want you to see how God today fulfills something that Jesus was moved with compassion about back there in Matthew chapter number 9. I know it sounds like you might not know where we're going here yet, but just hang on with me.
Good.
1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, look at verse number 10. Paul said, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Paul. Wait. Hold on, Paul. Don't try to get in on Jesus' responsibility.
Uh-oh.
Jesus is the source and perfecter of our faith.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, now you just stay out of that now. Some of you are looking at me like, I'm not sure if he's joking or what he is. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes, he is.
But here's Paul trying to get in on that. He said, wait, he said, I long to see you that I might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, I have faith, but it's not fully mature yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Every one of us have defects in our faith.
Yeah.
Everyone that's honest
right.
has defects.
Right.
In other words, they're still learning how to work this. They're still learning how to develop this. And hey, you know what we do with each other while we're learning? We just keep loving on one another. Right? We're merciful with one another. But the fact that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith doesn't mean that he's the only one you or I need in order to grow and develop in our walk with God by faith. We need other people that God gives us who will see our face and perfect what's lacking in our faith.
Glory to God. Thank you so much.
Amen. Y'all aren't shouting as much as you did in the first hour. See your face. Notice there's a connection here between Paul seeing their face and perfecting what's lacking in their faith. Now, he's writing under, this is 1 Thessalonians, a part of Scripture, part of the canon of Scripture. He's writing this to them under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and God sees fit to put it in the canon of Scripture. You would think that'd be all you'd need. You just need Jesus, and you need the Scriptures.
Come on, we need more. We need more.
See, that got quiet on that, didn't it? I'm going to show this to you in a great, powerful way here in a few minutes, that no, we need others in the body of Christ that will help us. I noticed something in my life. This is one of the things I noticed. I noticed that as soon as I got interested, because I was 10 years old when I got saved. But from then until about 15 years old, I did my own thing, and I did it as hard and fast as I could. And I had a good friend in high school who wanted to do his own thing just like me. He had a call to ministry.
Yeah.
I had a call to ministry, and we both knew it. But neither of us were interested. And we were both, they thought he and I just got in with the wrong crowd. The big secret was we didn't get in with the wrong crowd. We were the leaders of the wrong crowd. we were instigators. Just keep looking straight ahead. We won't know it was you too. we were into all kinds of stuff. Rebellion, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, my mistake was I mean, it was not a mistake, but in my mind, in my rebellious thinking at that time, my mistake was becoming best friends with Walker Schurz, who had a praying Holy Ghost mama. That was my mistake. Thank God I made that mistake, because I don't know where I'd be today. I don't know if I'd be alive today, but because we were on the wrong road fast.
Right.
Amen. We clean up. We look good now, but you know what I'm talking about. We was on the wrong road fast. So but my friend Walker Schurz, he and I, and this is a longer story, and I'm going to take time with today. But his mama caught him by the Holy Ghost, caught him with something that was mine. That was it was a rock and roll cassette tape. Remember cassette tapes?
Yes.
Back there, what was that? The 1930s, I believe, the cassette tape. But his mama reached between the mattresses and by the Holy Ghost, making his bed. Oh, cuss up, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, reach between the mattresses. Oh, what's this? Walker, what's this? That's not mine. Well, the problem was it was mine. Well, she started praying for him and I. And I'm telling you, she didn't just pray. She had the experiences in the spirit, went out and praying for the whole high school. I went to a Christian high school back in Pennsylvania. And she got to praying for and a revival hit that whole high school. It was all different denominations in the high school all coming together. Bringing their kids to high school, elementary too, but I was in high school. And they all, you know, all those different denominations needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because very few of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, she prayed that revival in, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost hit that high school, and by the time I graduated, one-third of my class was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God for praying Holy Ghost mamas. But I don't know why I told you all that. That was pretty good, wasn't it? But so I was on that road, but she prayed something out because I needed something more than just Jesus. I already had Jesus, right? And just church. I already had a church, but they weren't teaching me anything. I needed somebody to help me.
Yes. Glory to God.
Amen. Now in the church world as a whole. I knew where I was going. Thank you, Lord. But in the church world as a whole, it sounds spiritual, but it's unscriptural. People will say, all I need is Jesus. You might have said that. I think probably I've probably said that. But the truth is, it's not scriptural. We need people who will help us grow spiritually. And I noticed as soon as I got back to God, I told you about how I got back to God, because I got baptized in the Holy Ghost through that, you know, Walker Schurz praying mama. By the way, Walker Schurz is in Zaire today. Zambia. He's in Zambia today, pastoring the biggest church in Zambia.
Praise God.
And he gets invited to the presidential inaugurations and prays over the whole nation.
Right. Praise God.
Right.
Praise God. I'm so glad his mama prayed us out of the... But anyway, when I got back to God and got hungry for the things of God, then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's a whole story you want to hear sometime. It was quite a sight, a Mennonite kid with a Mennonite haircut hanging on the doorknob of the English teacher's classroom trying to stand up drunk on the Holy Ghost. We should have had a video of that. But my point is that when I got hungry for God and started reaching for more in God, one of the first things he did was he sent me to somebody who knew God better than me.
Yes. God. Thank you, Lord.
He sent me to Rhema Bible Training Center to sit under Brother Hagin. Praise God. What did he know? He knew I needed help.
Yes.
And the way he did it was he connected me with somebody who knew God better than me.
That's so good. Yeah.
Praise God for people that know God better than us.
Yes.
So to say, all I need is Jesus, is really not scriptural, because the Bible says no member of the body of Christ can say, I have no need of you.
Yeah. Right.
Another member of the body of Christ.
Right. Yes, sir.
Even Jesus, the head, can't say to the body, I have no need of thee.
He sure can. Yeah.
Well, that's maybe something you haven't thought about. But the point is that there is somebody that God will connect all of us to.
Yes. That's right.
that will help us spiritually. And it's not any man's job to tell us who that is.
Right, yeah.
I don't believe in that. But I do believe in everybody praying, finding out where God says it is.
Absolutely.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes.
And they will be, like Paul said, they will perfect what's lacking in our faith.
Yes. That's right.
Now, in one sense of the word, anybody preaching the word can do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Because the word will feed our faith. But in another sense of the word, 1 Corinthians 12, 18, it says, he puts us in the body as it pleases him. In other words, we shouldn't just be feeding everywhere. Doesn't mean that there's not good food in many other places. It's that where did God place us?
That's good.
Where did God? He sets us in the body as it pleased him. Isn't that right? And wherever he's pleased to put us, there'll be grace on us there to receive from that person and grace on them to supply something to us in a very unique way, not because of the person being anything special, better than anybody else, but just simply because it's God, it's a divine connection.
Yes, amen.
I believe big time in divine connections. My life is totally different. I don't even want to think about where I'd be right now without Brother Hagin's ministry. God connected us then up with the Dufresnes. I don't even want to think about where I'd be right now. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't fed on others. There's many good ministers, and we've fed on quite a number of good ministers' ministries. But right on the other hand, there's some main ones that God's told us to emphasize. Especially we emphasize those. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, so put 1 Thessalonians together with Matthew chapter number 9. Jesus saw they were scattered and fainted and, sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
And then go over to what Paul said there in 1 Thessalonians. He said, I long to see your face that I might perfect what's lacking in your faith. So, and then go to put, and add this one to it, 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to look at all this together, and you're going to see something about the importance of a divine connection, a pastor, a minister, somebody
Glory
to speak into your life.
Glory to God.
1 Peter chapter number 5, and you know this verse well, but look at it in this light. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in what? King James says the faith. It's literally in the Greek faith. Steadfast in your faith.
Yes.
Steadfast in your faith. So how do you resist? Satan's walking about, but how do you resist him? How does he, what keeps him from devouring you or I like he might be doing to somebody else? What keeps him from doing that? It tells us resist him in faith. Steadfast in your faith. Okay. Bring that together. I brought you three scriptures, Matthew 9, 35 through, 36 or there, whatever. And then we got 1 Thessalonians, and then we've got this verse.
Yes,
when Jesus said they were scattered as sheep not having a shepherd, and scattered means chased by a predator. You can look it up. Some of you got those electronic Bible programs. You can look it up for yourself. It means to be chased by a predator. And then he said, 1 Peter, he said, whom resist steadfast in your faith.
Yeah.
The one who's going about to devour. And then 1 Thessalonians 3 says, I long to see you perfect what's lacking in your faith. Then what he's saying is, you need somebody to help you in faith.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. To keep you from being devoured.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah.
That's better preaching than your amen. But I'll accept your, right?
Good.
I said, there's somebody that will help us in faith so that we won't be devoured.
That's right. Amen.
Now, we all have a personal relationship with Jesus directly. And we never want to imply that somebody is between us and Jesus. Because we can go direct. We have access to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes, we do.
But what I've learned is, just like a child, and we are all God's children.
Yes.
But just like a child does better when they have a parental figure, parents best, excuse me, the best is that they have parents. But, if they aren't available or something's going on, grandparents or somebody, that child will do much better off with somebody helping them grow up.
Amen.
than they ever will on their own.
That's right. Amen.
Right? In fact, children that grow up without that parental role, maybe they got, you know, handed around to different families and nobody really was interested or whatever. They tend to struggle. You know what I'm talking about. They tend to not be as developed, maybe socially or whatever. They tend to not do as well.
That's true.
Amen. And so God's that smart when it comes to spiritual health.
He is. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So it's important that we recognize that.
Yes.
And that we walk in the light of that because you know, this is God's plan for us, that we not just be an island to ourselves trying to grow up spiritually or grow in faith. I'm much further along spiritually than I would ever be without the voices that God has speaking into my life.
Amen.
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 So it's important that we understand that. Now, notice this part. I long to, this is 1 Thessalonians 3:10.
Yes, sir.
I long to see your face.
Yes.
And perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Like I started saying earlier, Paul's writing under inspiration of the Spirit, and he has and it's anointed because God put it in the canon of Scripture. He's writing by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so these, and he sent this letter to them. I don't know how. Somebody sent it. Somebody took it to him, I guess.
Yeah.
Took it to them. And so they're reading Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Right? And they have Jesus, they're born again. They have fellowship with God, they're born again.
Right.
And yet Paul still said, whenever I get to see you, whenever I'm looking at you face to face, there'll be a supply of an anointing that'll kick in whenever I see your face.
That's
that
right.
Doesn't even come through just reading a letter inspired by the Spirit. In other words, people say, well, you're kind of minimizing the word. I'm not minimizing the word. Let me just illustrate. I remember whenever I first got turned on to God, I'd read the Bible, and I was getting a lot of things out of it.
Yes, sir.
But I sat under somebody who had been in the things of God longer than me, and they'd read verses, and I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't see that.
Right.
I didn't realize that. Wait a minute. That is what that says.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
absolutely.
Oh, I can put both hands and both feet up.
Yes.
It's not that we're trying to take away from anybody's personal relationship with God. It's just that I'm including myself in this.
Right.
Probably all of us have blind spots.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, things that are right there in front of us, but we don't like that part, so we'll go to the next part. But somebody will preach on that part we don't like, and we'll go, oh, I like that now. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a good verse. My favorite verse right there. Right?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
So there's a friend of mine made this statement. He said, somebody's anointed to help you.
That's
yes.
right. Someone is.
Yes.
And I've gotten a lot of mileage out of that.
Yes, it's true.
Know who those supplies of the Spirit are in my life and value those divine connections.
Yes.
Glory to God. Now, you might say, why couldn't Paul just write and communicate things from a distance and so forth and so on. Well, if you look through the Bible, in fact, it's right there in Matthew 9, we read it.
Yes, sir.
That when there's a certain way that the Spirit of God moves sometimes, that until you see somebody's face, you don't realize what the Spirit of God wants you to say. As a minister, I know this. You don't realize what the Holy Ghost. In other words, let's put it this way. There are people, let me back up and say it in a way that'll apply to me. It's amazing to me. This was worked with Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy now. It's amazing to me. In fact, it happened at our gym camp meeting.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing to me where Pastor Nancy sees my face, goes a different direction,
yes.
and I get a divine rescue. If I told you of the divine rescue that happened at camp meeting, at gym camp meeting this year, back there in August, I'm not at liberty to because of certain details. Not anything wrong or sinful. I'm just saying just things that I don't want to divulge other people's situations.
Yes.
But if I told you the story, it's like, oh, Jesus,
yes.
thank you for my divine
yes.
connection.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Because in one of the services, she went a totally different direction, and I was talking to her about it up at in Canada, the Canada Miracle Crusade, and because I knew, in my prayer time afterwards, I knew she went that direction just for me.
Glory to God.
And that service, and then I talked to her in Canada. I was talking to her about some things, and she said, I think she said it first, actually. She said, you know that service was for you, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Didn't you? I said, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
That's our
Hallelujah. But she didn't get that until she stood in the pulpit, yeah. And she said, I'm supposed to go a totally different direction.
Yes. Come on.
That's what's been happening here.
Yes, indeed. Yes. That's right.
Totally different direction. Some the first hour, I didn't plan on doing most all that.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
We need it.
There's one of the ways the Spirit of God moves is it doesn't work that way until you see somebody's face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Did you notice in Matthew 9 when he saw the multitudes?
Right.
Yes. He was moved with compassion.
Yes. Glory be to God.
That's one of the ways the Holy Ghost moves. It's like, well, why didn't you tell me that back in my prayer time last night that I needed to go? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't.
Right.
It's one of the ways the Holy Ghost moves.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you another illustration. I think you'll remember this. You remember the Old Testament whenever Samuel went down to Jesse's house to anoint one of his boys to be king. I think, how many boys were there? 10 boys or something like that? Whole bunch of boys. And so Samuel is aware that the choice to, he's looking for David, but he didn't know who it was.
Yes.
He was aware that the king, because Saul flunked, he got disqualified. And so God's looking for the one to replace him. And all he knew was, go down to Jesse's house. I'm going to show you which one it is, which boy it is. Well, he's down there, and he asked, he had a ceremony there kind of thing, and he asked each boy to come before him. And God would say every time, no, this isn't the one. He saw the tall, dark, handsome one, sort of like Pastor Jay. Somebody said, you must be insecure. No, I'm just having fun. And he thought, surely this is the one. This is him. Surely the Lord's anointed. And the Lord said, no, it's not him. I don't look on the outward appearance.
Yeah.
I look on the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
And God only would tell Samuel that it wasn't this one. It'll save a whole lot of time. Just tell him which one it was. Rather than, okay, bring the next boy. Nope, this isn't the one. Bring the next boy. It wasn't until he saw their face that he knew by the Spirit whether it was him or not. Can you see how that works? And then, of course, Jesse didn't even bring David in. I think he's the youngest. He's out there keeping the sheep. He thought, surely it's not him. And so Samuel said, is this all your boys? He said, well, there's one more out there, bring him in. So they brought him in and said, the Lord, here he is, the Lord's anointed. Praise the Lord. But what happened? It wasn't until he saw his face that operated. That revelation operated. Can you see what I'm talking about? The same thing is true today. It was true in Jesse's day. It's true in Jesus' day. It's true today. There's one way, and I don't know why. I can't make those kinds of things work. I wish God would tell me everything back in the hotel or back in the house or wherever we are.
Right.
But he doesn't. Sometimes you get in church and you see people, something starts stirring.
There it is.
Something starts stirring.
Yes.
And that's what Paul said. I long to see your face.
Right.
I long to see your face that I can perfect what's lacking in your faith. Oh, isn't that helpful? That helps me a whole lot. Somebody needs to see my face.
Yes,
it wasn't until Pastor Nancy got up in the service and saw my face. She went a different direction. And I got some help that was a divine rescue.
Glory be to God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, it shouldn't surprise me because the Lord told me way back when we first connected with the Dufresnes, he said, there you obey me. It's going to save your life.
Save your life.
Cha-ching. Some people think they have faith problems when they actually have face problems.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
It's true.
Nobody that God divinely connected them to help them in faith is seeing their face. And that's what local churches are all about. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Well, I just wanna stay home and watch live stream or whatever. Well, we can't see your face, or the minister can't see your face. You can see their face. Wasn't that good enough according to the Bible? No. He said somebody needs to see your face. Praise God. I said, praise God. We need to meditate on that. Hallelujah. And so that's the main. Now that'll work with any ministry. You understand there's five different, there's the fivefold ministry. But the most common place your face should be seen, according to the scriptures, is your local church.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's your church home, your church family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so I've this is what I was referring to at Gem Camp meeting this year, but also I've experienced it in my life in ministry. I've had the Lord. You've read the scripture. The Bible says Jesus will leave, the good shepherd will leave the 99 and go after the one.
Yes.
There's times I've walked into services. Most people don't realize it, but the whole congregation heard the word, and how many of you know it blesses all of us? The word blesses all of us, but they don't realize I got redirected for one person. And how many of you know you don't need to stay up and say, thus saith the Lord, this is for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
No, that's not necessary.
No, it's not.
No.
Right? Glory to God. Now, praise God. Y'all glad you came this morning? So I'm so glad somebody anointed to see my face, sees my face. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's switch back here to Ephesians chapter number 4, where I was going to go at the beginning. Ephesians chapter number 4. I believe the local church is huge in the believer's life. It's huge in the plan of God for believers. Ephesians chapter 4. We're familiar with this in verses 11 and 12 primarily. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. He gave some apostles. This is talking about Jesus when he ascended up on high. Led captivity captive. Gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Mm-hmm. Literally, what we call the fivefold ministry offices. And they're still in the church today.
Yes.
No place where they, revoked. What did he say next? For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come to the unity of faith, so forth and so on. Look at that term, perfecting of the faith. I, for years, and this is right, there's this is a proper definition, I only thought perfecting meant maturing.
Right.
You've ever looked that up, it's the maturing. Yes. For the maturing of the saints.
Yes, sir.
How many of you believe in growing up spiritually?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Growing up spiritually. There's many benefits to growing up spiritually, like there's many benefits to growing up naturally. When you grow up naturally, you get to drive, you get to vote, you get to do things that nobody let you do before, right? Growing up spiritually is the same way. But he said for the perfecting, or the Greek actually says maturing. That's a true definition. But I don't remember how many years ago it was, probably 15 or maybe even 20 years ago now. I was prompted again to look that up, perfecting in the Greek. What does it mean? And I just thought, well, I know, but I'll just look it up because I got the prompting. And I saw some extra wording in the definition that I totally had missed for years. The word perfecting in the Greek, of course, means maturing, but it also goes on to say rendering fit, right ordering, arrangement. Rendering fit, right ordering, or arrangement of the saints. Well, that right ordering jumped out at me. And I have gotten a lot of mileage out of that to help me spiritually. And I'd like to share it with you if you'd allow me to. Right ordering. Right ordering of the saints. In other words, these fivefold ministry offices will bring our lives, or the lives of the saints, into order. Everybody say, divine order. How many of you know God has a way or an order for things to work? And when those things, when we do them according to divine order, they will work.
Yes.
Just take marriage, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
God has a plan for marriage.
He sure does.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
He has a plan for the structure of the home, the leadership of the home. He has a plan for the children. He has a plan for raising children. He has a plan for husbands and wives to get along.
Absolutely.
It's called the love walk,
right?
So there's a divine order
for
marriage, the home, and raising children and things like that. But he has divine order for everything.
Yes.
There's divine order for you and my thought life.
Yes,
that's true.
Right?
Yes,
And when things are not, when our minds are not ordered by the Word of God, then we call it, mental issues and things like that.
Yep.
Which I came out of a lot of that kind of thing.
Yes, sir.
Mental torment and, harassment in my mind.
Right, right.
So I have a lot of compassion for people along that line. I also find myself ministering on it a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of help in the Word of God for us.
Praise
a lot
God.
For our thought life.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't have a plan. God doesn't want you and I living tormented, vexed, worried, harassed, bombarded with thoughts of, anxiety, fear, suicide, whatever. The devil's, he's not a friend of your thought life. He wants to vex it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But God has a plan for you and my thought life.
Hallelujah.
And Isaiah 26:3, if thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. These things can be corrected, so to speak. Anxiety, panic attacks. I don't know how many people in Cedar Rapids. It just seems to be an epidemic up there. I'm sure it's not just unique up there. But just a lot of fear and panic attacks and things like that. But how many people are in our church that used to be on medications for that? Probably about a third of the church. I say that to give glory to God. Who are not on medications today. Because they learned to renew their mind, take thoughts captive, answer the enemy, and not take his thoughts. Not think his thoughts after him, thoughts of anxiety, worry, and so forth and so on.
Yes.
And what people called a mental disorder or emotional disorder was fixed whenever the Word of God brought order to their thought life.
Yes, right order.
Yes. I know what I'm talking about because as a teenager, my thought life was not controlled and I opened up to harassments. And I literally, by the time I was 18 or so, I felt like, I've had people describe it this way in their life. I felt like somebody had a vice on my head and every now and then was just cranking in another crank tighter. It felt like maybe an iron band around my head, just vexation, until the point I almost had a constant headache. Not today.
Not today. That's right.
Somebody said, did somebody lay hands on you and cast that out? No. I just learned what I did to open the door to the devil, and I closed the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. But I didn't learn that without somebody helping me learn that. Teaching me what the Word said. Teaching me what the Word said. I'll never forget it whenever I first realized, it's my mind. I'm supposed to control what I think on. I just thought if a thought came, it was just me. No, thoughts have sources.
They do. Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so there's divine order for our thought life.
Yes.
Divine order for our homes.
Yes,
divine order for everything. Divine order for our bodies.
Right.
Divine order for our spiritual lives.
Amen.
Somebody said, where can we find that order? The Word of God is divine order.
Yes, it is.
The Word of God is divine order. And he said that the fivefold ministry offices are given to help bring our lives into order.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Like I said, I've had many people call, pray for us. The staff will help us take these calls sometimes. Pray for us. We need help in this area, that area. And we're compassionate and we love helping people. But the thing about it is, so many times it's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer.
Yep.
It doesn't fix the real root problem.
Yeah.
It just keeps coming back.
Sure.
Why? because there's something out of order.
Yes.
And they don't have somebody that they have set themselves under to feed them the word and bring their life into order. Now, go over to, well, you don't have to go there. Just think about it. You know the story well enough, or the passage well enough. Remember in Genesis, the Bible says, the earth was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Remember that? If you look it up, without form and void means a whole lot more than just it wasn't, you know, or creation wasn't reduced into biological forms, you know, into animals and all the organisms in the ground. All that's not what it's talking about. That's not only what it's talking about. It literally in the Hebrew means helter-skelter. It probably refers to something that happened between Genesis 1 and 2. But anyway, the point I'm making is the earth is there,
right.
But it's not in order.
No order. Yeah.
Well, what's God going to do to bring it into order? The very next verse. And God said. He's got his world here, but it's not in order. What did he do to bring it into order? He started saying some things. Let there be light. Let there be this.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
And things started coming into order.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
So it's not the person that God, like God connected me with some people to help me spiritually. It wasn't the person that brought my life into order. It was the word that they had. It was the anointing on them to teach and preach that word.
Hallelujah.
That brought my life into order.
Absolutely.
I'm not squirrely in my head today. Now, don't call my wife. She might say I am. But anyway, I'm not. Say that loud. He's not. Thank you. We're all in agreement, right?
Hallelujah.
And that's what brought my life. I'm not saying I'm perfect in anything. You understand that. But I am so much different than I used to be.
Come on now.
I mean, things are working.
Yes, they are. Glory to God.
My body is better. I think I'm stronger today than I was in my 30s.
All right now. Come on. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Just things working.
Just
working. How many of you know the word works?
It does. Yes. Right.
The word works.
Yes, it does.
But it takes us. Because I sat under people who knew it so much better than me. And I'm telling you, I thought after just a year of Bible school, I went 2 years, but after just a year of Bible school, I thought, my goodness, I thought I knew a little about the Bible. I didn't hardly know anything about the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, have you ever, we use this term out of order, and people say, well, there's another term for it, dysfunction. You walk up to, do they even have soda machines anymore?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Sorry.
I
drank about one or two sodas since 1987, I believe. But anyway, so that's enough. But you walk up to a soda machine, and it's got a sign on it that says out of order. You know what that means? Something in there is not working right. It also means you're not going to get a soda out of this one today. Right? You ever walked up to an ATM machine, had a sign on it, out of order? You're not going to get any cash out of it that day. Right? Out of order means something in there is dysfunctional.
That's right.
And, you know, we live in a society that people talk about dysfunction.
Oh, yeah.
Dysfunctional families, dysfunctional this, dysfunctional that. And you know, without God and without the Word of God, welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, right?
Yeah,
come on, somebody.
Yeah.
But there's an answer for all that.
Yes, there is.
I said there's an answer for all that.
There is.
Letting the Word, sitting under the washing of the water Word, just like God brought his world into order in Genesis by the Word. And then the Holy Ghost was there. Remember, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And whatever God said with the Word, the Spirit of there was there to manifest it. Hallelujah. And as that Word kept coming, his world kept coming into order. Kept coming into order. I like order.
Me too.
I didn't say control.
There it is.
There's a divine order that isn't controlling. It is actually freedom. And there's nothing like function. Amen. There's nothing like things working that used to not work. I'm telling you, I have had this, and it's a progression. Sitting under the word, it's a progression. You go first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Where you sit under the word and you're like, I'm getting this. And you start getting a little bit of results. That's just the blade coming up. But you keep washing yourself in the water of the word. You keep sitting under the word. Somebody's anointed to help you by preaching the word to you. You keep letting that happen to you. After a while, there's going to be the ear. And then you're going to, you keep on growing and feeding on that word. You're going to get the full corn in the ear. You know what the full corn in the ear is?
Yeah.
It's called days of heaven on earth.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Days of heaven on earth. I mean, the family is in order. The children are thriving. The home is thriving. My mind isn't squirrely anymore.
Glory to God.
And I'll tell you an area that the word has changed my life totally is financially.
Yes, sir.
Totally
yes,
changed
sir.
My life financially.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
But it works not through, in fact, the Lord said to me one day, he said, because I said, all right, Lord, I surrender some things I didn't want to surrender to about finances. And I said, all right, Lord. He said, well, I'm going to start teaching you, but first of all, I want you to know your way didn't work, did it? See, he needed me to be humble first. Because I thought I knew better. I thought, there's no way giving money away is the way you get the way you get ahead. Because I grew up in the Eberly household. And in the Eberly household, this was our doctrine. Get all you can all you get, sit on the can. And if we went out to eat, I mean, I remember watching, I better watch myself here. But I've seen tips that are like a dollar. That's the Eberlys without the renewed mind. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good, right? But so I had to renew my mind. When I got married, Pastor Debbie and I got married, I it's like, whoa, girl, hold on here. Whoa, you can't give that away. I thought, man, if I don't clamp down on her, which didn't work, by the way, but I thought, if I don't clamp down on her, she going to give away. I'm going to come home and the kitchen sink's going to be gone. You know, it's like, do we have any furniture anymore? I mean, she just was different. She had her mind more renewed. And that's what the Lord meant whenever he said, your way's not working, is it? Because I was clamping down on her. Anyway, praise God for the renewing of the mind.
Yes.
And we started getting our financial lives in order.
In order.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And somebody was anointed to help us bring our lives into order.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So let's look at something before we go here, just wrapping this up. Yes. In fact, you know what? You know what Pastor's going to do? He's going to actually quit early today. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that?
No, we want more.
Praise God for the word. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. Praise God for the word.
Praise God.
Look at one more reference, though. Titus 1:5. This is another verse that kind of says similar things in a different way.
Yes, sir.
Titus. Have you ever read the book of Titus? You should read it, because when you go to heaven, you're going to meet Titus. And he's going to say, did you read the book that was written to me?
That's right.
Titus 1:5. This is Paul, actually, by the Spirit writing to Titus. He said, verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Paul had left there, but he left Titus there. That thou shouldest set in order the things wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee.
Yeah.
Notice that for churches to grow spiritually and their lives to come in order, Paul said there needs to be somebody set there as an elder.
As an elder.
Yes.
Can you see that? And I could take you through, and in fact, I wrote a lot of things down yesterday thinking I was going this direction, but I could take you through the scriptures and show you that an elder is actually a pastor. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Very clearly, if I had the time, I could show you that. But so that's showing us that this ministry is a supply, talking about the pastoral office, it's a supply to our faith. I need this. Somebody said, is he preaching about himself? I'm really preaching to myself.
Yeah.
I've got people speaking into my life.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes Christians, they want to sort of be the original source of all revelations. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because that's pride.
Yeah.
I God showed me this. God showed me this.
Come on, Pastor.
Well,
come on, Pastor.
That's true. God shows us all things. We understand that. But probably, I don't know. I never thought about it. A very high percentage, well over 50%, probably more like 75 or 80% of the things I preach, I got by sitting under somebody else.
Yes.
I gave them credit the first time. Yes. That's all I give them credit for anymore. The first time I preach it, I say, you know, as brother so-and-so said, or sister so-and-so said, and I'll give them credit. Next time I say, as somebody said.
Somebody said.
Then I say, as I always say. But no, see, we need one another, don't we? People share things with us, and we get a lot out of what they share. Praise God. Stand up with me. Thank God for the truth. I got things we were going to go some other directions, but this is what came to me as I stood up in the pulpit.
Yes. Well, praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful for what God's doing in Kansas City.
Yes.
I'm thankful. Praise God. We're not the only ones in Kansas City doing anything for God by a long shot. We're not, but we do have a part here, and God said there's a plan here, further plan here. So we're just walking that out. Somebody said, well, how's it all going to end up? Well, whenever I know, I'll tell you. I'm just walking by faith in this. Glory to God. And faith pleases God. You know, God didn't say to Saul, his name changed to Paul, but remember Saul on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, go into the city, and then I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this. No, he said, you go into the city, and it'll be told you what you must do. In other words, just take the step and more revelation will come. That's what we're doing. Just taking the step. Just taking the step. Letting God show us what the next step is. Praise the Lord. So if you're interested in this faith journey with us, which is the most exciting life you can live, living by faith. If you're interested in it, then, you know, welcome to the family. Praise God. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for each person that's here. Thank you, Father, for those you've called to connect with the vision you've given us. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about any person. It's about your plan. That's what we're hungry for, your plan. We decide, Father, your plan is our highest joy. It's our delight. And we're in all the way with your plan, Father. And so we say, thank you for your blessing on the steps of faith as we walk with you. Your blessing on every step that of obedience and faith that we take in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank you for the increase. We thank you for the increase. We thank you for the increase. In Jesus' mighty name, in every way. Increase in utterance, the move of the Spirit. Increase in people saved. Increase, Father, in numbers of people. Increase in finances. Increase, we thank you, Father. I'm prompted right now to pray. Thank you for that building. Thank you for that building. We receive it by faith. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Father God, for your blessing on every person that is led by your Spirit to connect up. And I thank you for the divine supply they are to this which you've called us to do, the divine supply we are to them. And we thank you, Father, as a result of coming together and working together, we'll all go higher than we would ever have gone on our own. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you the praise for the revelation of the next steps, of each step we're to take. We thank you for the revelation of it. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for the giftings, the treasures that are in each person sitting here today. And Father God, we know you have a place for those treasures to be, to function in this body. And we thank you, Father, for the fullness of that plan. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for full supply of all that we need as a congregation. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise for the results. In Jesus' name, we've planted and watered. It's you that gives us the increase. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone that agreed said, amen, amen, amen.